May the Lord help us to commence our worship by singing hymn number 498. 498. Time, what an empty vapour 'tis, and days how swift they are, swift as an Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star. Hymn 498.
Thank you. Seeking once more the Lord's help as we come to the reading of his word, I would like us to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, our reading chapter 24, down to verse 35. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, from verse 1 to verse 35. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and to be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. We will leave the reading there. Amen.
Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
Come once more to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we come once more before thee, thanking thee again for the way of prayer and for the mercy seat and for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do acknowledge, O Lord, that thou art King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou art the creator and the sustainer of heaven and earth. It is thee alone that has formed us in our mother's wombs. It is thee alone who has given us life, even this day. We acknowledge that our lives, minutest circumstances, are subject to thine own will. And we acknowledge, O Lord, that thou art the sovereign, O ruler of the skies. We thank thee that thou art a kind and a merciful God, that thou art willing to pardon. We do thank thee that thou hast created a way in which we who are sinful are able to be found righteous in thy sight through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for the wonderful plan of salvation, a plan in which satisfies thine own law and thine own self, thine own justice, and enables us as sinful people to be able to approach thee. We thank thee for thy holy word that thou hast given to us, that we might be able to know thee, the only true God, and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can read it in our own language, and we thank thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit and for the promises that are written within thy book. And we thank thee that through the foolishness of preaching, men and women and boys and girls are able to be born again of thy Spirit, and that they're able to be satisfied and fed through spiritual blessings, through spiritual food which cannot be taken away from them. And we would ask, O Lord, as we come to thee, that thou teach us once more how to pray. And we ask, Lord, that we may pray in accordance with thine own will, that thou put into our minds those things that are pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, and that thou hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and look down with favour upon us, and incline thine ear unto our cry, for we are indeed poor and needy, and we would ask that thou think upon us. O Lord, we have come to another end of another year. Our lives are indeed fast hastening on. A year of our life has flown by again, and we stand on the brink of another year. We do acknowledge, O Lord, thy goodness to us as individuals, for not dealing with us as we deserve to be dealt with. We do thank thee, Lord, that we do live in a nation that is in a way prosperous. We do thank thee that we do have the many wonderful things that have been given to us in this land, and we thank thee for the many privileges that we have in this country, and we do think of those who do struggle day by day to make ends meet, and those who struggle day by day to provide for their families. We ask, Lord, that thou uphold them and strengthen them as they endeavour to search out the sustenance for their families. We do acknowledge, O Lord, thy goodness to us, and we pray that thou grant us those truly thankful hearts for all of thy many mercies. We thank thee for the privilege that we have to be able to worship thee in freedom. We thank thee at this time, O Lord, that we can meet together, none able to make us lawfully afraid. And we do think of our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this world, those who are today meeting in secret, those who are like the early church in the dens and in the hiding places, meeting in fear of their lives. We pray, Lord, that they may be blessed with a greater measure of faith, that they may be provided for in the necessities of life. We think of the ministers of thy word who are locked away in prisons due to the proclamation of the gospel. We pray that thou be with them, do bless them and undertake for them and provide their every need. Do remember their families also, provide for them and help them. And if it could please thee, that they may be released and enabled to continue on with that work that thou hast given them to do. We pray for those who are struggling day by day, those, Lord, in our own land and those in other lands, those who find life difficult, and those who are struggling to live day by day. We pray, Lord, for them that they may be able to be lifted up and provided for. We think of thy people who pass through much tribulation to enter thy kingdom. For we have many difficulties, we have many trials that thou dost see fit to bring us through. We have the trials of our natural lives, and we have the spiritual trials. We have the onslaughts of Satan, we have doubts and fears and unbelief. And Lord, we pray that we may be comforted by thy word, that thy word may be applied to our case, that it may be made suitable for us, that we may have a promise laid into our hearts, that we may be like Mary, who had a treasure trove of promises granted unto her, that she was able to meditate upon and be encourage herself in the pathway that thou had led her to walk. We ask, Lord, that we also may be granted a treasure trove of promises applied to us, that we may meditate upon them night and day, that we may beat them out and spiritually grow and bear fruit for thy honour and for thy glory. We ask, Lord, that thy people may be kept from external sin, that thou keep us from the tricks and traps of Satan, that help us to be wise to the accuser of the brethren. We ask, Lord, that thou help us to love thee with all of our heart, soul and mind. Help us to live our lives that they may be pleasing in thy sight. Help us to love our neighbour as ourselves. Help us, Lord, we pray, to grant us a humble spirit, that the mind of Christ may dwell in us. Help us, Lord, to deem each other greater than ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be content to be the least. And we pray, Lord, that thou use us as instruments in thy hand for the advancement of thy kingdom. We pray, Lord, that thou help this church especially to undertake for them and bless them and to be with them. Think of the children and the ongoing work of the Sunday school, and we pray for those who teach them and those ministers who come and teach them also. Our Lord, we pray that thou save them. Do keep them from going off into the broad road that leads to destruction. Do keep them, Lord, from becoming prodigal sons and daughters. Do hear the cries of their mothers and their fathers, that they may be saved while they are young. We ask, Lord, that even this evening hour, if it could please thee, that their eyes may be opened, that they may lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Saviour, that he may touch them, that he may bless them, that they may know something of their need of him. Oh, Lord, we know that there are many distractions in this world of ours. There are many things that cause us to be drawn aside and to forget about the one thing that is needful. We ask, Lord, that our minds may be stabilized, that we may know a peace that is beyond our understanding, and in this turmoil and this toing and froing, we may know a calming of the storm. Lord, that we may know an invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may speak to us. Come unto me, all ye that are labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. O Lord, we pray that we may search out that one thing that is needful. We pray, Lord, that thou bless each one that has gathered, and thou dost know their cases, the concerns of their hearts, the things that trouble them, the things that they are pleased with. And we ask, Lord, that they may know something, that their case may be met with, that they may be pleased that they have come aside a little while and sat under the authority of thy word this night. We pray, Lord, those who are downcast may be uplifted. Those who are passing through great trials and difficulties may be strengthened and enabled. Those who feel that thou art afar off may know that thou art a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We pray for those who struggle with mental conditions, those whose minds are are greatly distressed. May they be like the mad Gadarene and be found sitting at the feet of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in their right mind. Oh Lord, we know these things are great things to ask, but they're things that are beyond our control and beyond our ability. Therefore we present them at thy feet, if we know that thou art more than able. Thou art able to do far more than we can ask or think. And we beg thee that thou work amongst us this night, that thou see the hearts of every single one, for we stand open before thee. And we would pray, Lord, that thou fit thy word for our case, that thy Holy Spirit may move amongst us. He may manifest himself unto us, that our hearts may burn within us like those on the road to Emmaus. And we pray, Lord, dear Lord Jesus, that thou come and be with us also. For it is indeed towards evening and the day is fast spent. And we pray that thou draw near to us and make thyself known unto us and open up the scriptures unto us, that we may feed and be satisfied and edified from thy holy word. We ask, Lord, that thou remember again this village. We ask thy blessing to rest upon it. We pray, we ask, if there are any of thy lost sheep in this town, that they may be found, that they may be drawn into this place, that they may hear thy word, that they may go on their way rejoicing. We ask, Lord, that thou not restrain thine hand, but thou open thine hand fully. Thou open the windows of heaven and let down a blessing. There will not be room enough to contain it. Oh, revive us, Lord. Revive us in our own hearts. Revive us as a church. Revive us as a denomination. Revive us, Lord, as a town, as individual towns and villages and this land of ours. We pray, God bless our land and nation, and you hear our prayers for forgiveness for the sins which run rife through this land of ours. And we pray, the Lord, that thou help us once more as we come to the ministry of thy word. Do enable me to speak once more and grant me freedom and liberty if it could please thee. Open up my understanding. And may the promises be true that thy strength is perfected in weakness. We ask, Lord, that our sins, which are so many, may be forgiven, and that where we fail, thou make up, as we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 477, 477. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above, how great their joys, how bright their glories be. Hymn 477.
Once more seeking the Lord's help and favour and blessing upon his word, and to grant me the words to speak to you this evening. I'd like you to turn to the chapter that we read together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, and the text you'll find in verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. To add to the context really of our text, we have to take verse 28. They drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. This morning we looked at the life of Mary and how she was highly favoured, a woman highly favoured among women, that she was like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and how the Lord chose her and used her as an instrument for which he may enter into this world in human form. And we saw how Mary pondered these things and in her heart she treasured up the many tokens that were revealed to her regarding her son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the process of time, the different promises were revealed to her. They became a reality in her life. The promises that the angel gave her, they were manifested in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the shepherds came to worship, and how the wise men came to worship her son, and how she was able to see all these things playing out within her life, and as she hoarded up those promises as treasures in a treasure trove within her life, as she looked at her son, the Lord Jesus, growing up. Not only was he her son, but he was, as we saw, Son of God, Son of the Highest, Son of David, in the kingly line. And as she saw the evidences of that anointing upon him, and as she watched him grow and the different things that took place within his life, and then we saw right at the end, as Simeon said to her, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." And as she watched her son grow and the different things that he did, as she would have seen him be baptized and begin his earthly ministry, as he began to do the miracles and as the people began to follow him and the crowds began to listen to him, and the whole of Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee almost went out after him so that they may hear his words, so that they may be healed from their various diseases and sicknesses. And then as it came to that climax, as he is on the cross and she is there with the other women witnessing those things that are taking place to her her son, and he's buried. But then we find that he's risen again. What always amazes me, really, and knowing the frailty of human mind, the human mind that it fails to grasp spiritual truth, that those apostles could have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and he could have laid bare the truth that he was going to die and rise again. And yet when the thing happened, when those words, those prophecies became a reality, they failed to understand all that was taking place. They were perplexed. They were confused. They thought that he would bring about a great deliverance for them. And they had to be reminded by the angels as they came to the tomb. And it's interesting, isn't it, that it was Mary who was chosen. And we find that it is the women who come first to the tomb. They are the ones who were first up in the morning. They were the ones who were first up coming to search for the Lord Jesus Christ and how they loved him and how they wanted to take care naturally of that of his body. But as they arrive at the tomb, they find that the door is open. The stone had been rolled away. And there they meet with these two angels. The angels sounded at his birth, and the angels were there at his resurrection. At his death, heaven and earth, as it were, hid their face. There was a darkness over the whole, whole of the area. And the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." And when he rose again from the grave, the messengers of the Lord, the angels of God, are there to give that message, to remind these women, "He is not here. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. They had to be reminded. And isn't that the case often with us? We have to be reminded. Our minds are like sieves. Although we may have a treasure trove of promises, yet we enter into a little bit of trouble and it's as though all of those promises just disappear. It's like we have no faith whatsoever. Everything has vanished out of sight and we are just seen as like weak worms on the floor. Every ounce of faith that we once had disappears and we crave another promise. We crave another word from the Lord. We crave that reassurance that everything is going to be okay. And although the scripture is filled with promises, and we can read them, it brings no comfort. We want to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. We want to be reminded that he is with us. Remember how he told you, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise again the third day. And even after these ladies run back to the apostles, we find that the apostles didn't believe them. It says that the scripture tells us that it seems to the apostles as idle tales. You think these men who have been chosen by God as his apostles, his sent ones, to send his message into the world, the message of the gospel into the world. We've sat under his ministry for 3 years. And when witnesses come from the tomb, because they are women, they won't believe them. They must go and see themselves. And Peter ran to the sepulchre and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. He says that Christ must suffer. And all of the teaching had been pointing to this point, and yet they failed to grasp the true point for Christ coming. He was born into this world. He was placed into a human body, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, so that he could taste death for every man, every one that would believe upon him. He tasted death for them. And yet the very ones who sat under his ministry failed to grasp that truth until we read that he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. In verse 45 and 46, and he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are my witnesses of these things." And so he appears unto these ladies, and he appears unto Peter and some of the others, and then two of his disciples, and not apostles, but disciples, are walking on the way to Emmaus. And they are reasoning amongst themselves. They are trying to work out what has taken place. You see, it had not gone according to their plan. It had not happened as they had thought it would happen. And as Mary pondered things in her mind, trying to pull all the loose ends together, so these men walking to Emmaus were trying to pull all the loose ends together, trying to work all of these things out. And as they walked, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That's a lovely word, that is. There's nothing greater in this life than having the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you. Walking on the narrow way that leads to life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Good Shepherd. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And sometimes this happens in the life of a believer. The scripture tells us that Christ is an ever-present friend. That he is always with his people. Through the presence of his Holy Spirit. But through external circumstances and through trials of life, we can't see him. It's like our eyes are blinkered to the fact that Christ is there. And he is there, watching over his people and walking with them, but he is hidden from them. And he is hidden from them because he wants to reveal to them a greater truth. You see, if Christ had revealed himself to them in this moment, in this instant, they would not have experienced him expounding the scripture to them in greater detail. And I think he often hides his face from his friends. And he does so in order to teach them, to give to them a greater experience of himself and his word. And which he does with these men here. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he makes out to them that he doesn't know what is going on. But he sees them that they are sad. Why are you reasoning together? What manner of communications do you have and why are you sad? And they explain to him everything that has taken place. And he repeats those words. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, you see, here's the blessing now. Here he begins to open up the scriptures to them, revealing himself right from the very beginning, showing them that here am I, here am I, here am I, here am I. When you read through the Old Testament, I am there. Types and shadows, these things, they speak about me. And he begins at Moses. And we could say it begins at Moses, Moses the man. Or we could say that he begins at the books of Moses. And if we say that he begins at the books of Moses, then he begins right at the beginning of the Bible. Right at the beginning. Chapter 3 of the Bible. When Adam and Eve had sinned against God and had been cast out of the Garden of Eden and suffered the consequences of their sins. The Lord spoke to the serpent and said that he would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And beginning at Moses, he expounded the scriptures concerning himself. Well, this is concerning himself. As we saw with the Virgin Mary, that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger and called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The seed of the woman came to bruise the serpent's head, and in doing so, his heel was going to be bruised. And we see that that bruising takes place upon the cross of Calvary as Christ gains the victory over Satan and conquers sin and death and the grave. Beginning at Moses, Christ knew the Old Testament. And he knew that there were those types and shadows that spoke of him. And he knew that his disciples were blinded to the fact. And so he opened up the scriptures to them and began to show them that these things needed to take place in order that he would fulfill the work that had been given him to do. Beginning at Moses, you think of another one I thought of was Isaac. When Abraham and Isaac went up into the mountain and Isaac had to be offered upon the altar, the Lord said to Isaac, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him for a sacrifice on the mountain that I will show thee. And Abraham got up early in the morning and he went to the land of Moriah. And he took Isaac with him. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb. And we know that as Abraham and Isaac went up to the top of the mountain, and as he built the altar there, and as he lifted up his knife to plunge it into his son, that God did indeed provide a substitute there for his son Isaac. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Beginning at Moses, he expounded the scripture concerning himself. Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect substitute for sinners. Christ, the Son of God, was not spared as Isaac was spared. As Isaac was substituted for a lamb upon the cross of Calvary, Christ was not substituted. The wrath of Almighty God was poured onto his son there upon the cross, and he became the substitute. He became the lamb caught in the thicket and that was offered in the stead of his people. He became the one who would stand in the place of sinners. And beginning at Moses, and Moses himself, we know as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, raised up to deliver his people out of Egypt, raised up as a prophet of God, used mightily, saw God face to face. Never was there a prophet like unto Moses. But what about the Passover? And beginning at Moses, as Isaac was substituted for a ram, how about the Passover? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. A lamb without spot and a lamb without blemish was to be slaughtered, and its blood was to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and upon the lintels, and everybody was to enter into the house. When the angel of death, when the angel of destruction flew over the land of Egypt, and when it saw the blood, he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you when I see the blood. Judgment had already fallen upon that house. A substitute had already been slaughtered. But where there was no blood, the wrath of God fell and death came. And the whole land of Egypt cried out, because death came to every house, except those that were found sheltering underneath the blood. Death had already come. And beginning at Moses, he expounded all the scriptures concerning himself. What about Joshua? Joshua, following after the Lord Jesus, following after Moses, chosen to take the children of Israel across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. Joshua, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ's name, Jesus, is a Greek translation of the name Joshua. Joshua means he will save, the deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ, he shall save his people from their sin. He will bring them over into the true Promised Land. He will carry them over through the River Jordan, that Jordan of death, which separates us from the Promised Land. And as Joshua took over from Moses, and as he came through the River Jordan and brought them through there onto into that Promised Land, the Lord was with him. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Beginning at Moses, he expounded the scriptures concerning himself. Joshua, a type of the Lord Jesus. And we've got Joseph as well, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered his brethren. What about the prophets? What did the prophets speak about the Lord Jesus? What did they reveal concerning him? Things that were done and said 700 years or so before he was even born. Yet they knew the pathway that he was going to walk. They knew the things that he was going to experience. The Spirit had revealed these things unto them. And the greatest prophecy, isn't it, is Isaiah 53. The suffering servant. It gives detail of how Christ was going to suffer to redeem his people. You see, God's plan of salvation was ordered before the foundation of the world. And it was revealed to us through prophets, or to us today through his word, but to the old people through prophets. They were drip-fed, as it were, more and more detail regarding the coming of Christ. Isaiah 53 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." And you and I have the privilege of being able to read the Gospels and the fulfillment of these very words. We can see exactly that he was despised and he was rejected of men. And we can see in our own hearts also that before we were in an unregenerate state, how we despised and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Written 700 years before he even is born, the Lord knew exactly what was going to take place. You think of it, the earth was made by him. He came unto his own and his own received him not. In John it tells us there, that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know how hard it is not to be given the glory that you feel that you deserve. If you've done a good piece of work, somebody else takes the credit for it. If you have designed something and somebody else takes the glory from it, they say, no, you didn't do that, somebody else did. You immediately feel as though something has been taken from you. You immediately feel wound up that you should be getting the glory that it deserves. Your name should be written there. Well, think of that. Christ, who was ever with the Father in eternity past, put on flesh. He came to his own creation, came to his own people, and they rejected him. The world was made by him, and yet the world rejected him, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of our Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. And it goes on in precise detail of everything that Christ was going to suffer and the consequences of that for his people. That the Lord bruised him, crushed him, so that he would be able to be satisfied with the travail of his soul to bring about the salvation of his people. And beginning at Moses, he opened up the scriptures to these men, and he began to explain to them in detail everything that Christ should suffer. And for that is what he came to do. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 46, for thus it is written that Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. At the work of Christ, yes, it was to be, he was to be born. He was to be born into this world in order that he may live a perfect and an upright life, to work a robe of righteousness for his people. Not only did he work a robe of righteousness, but the scripture tells us that he fulfilled the whole law of God, every line and every dot. He has not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So that those who would be able to believe in him, he would be able to credit to them a perfect righteousness. He would be able to wipe away their sin. Because he has completed the whole law of God. If you think of God's law, you young ones who go to school, and you have an exam, and you are told in that exam that you've got to get 100%. 100%. And if you get one question wrong, you're out. That's what God's law is like. 100% is what is required to get into heaven. If you break one of his laws, you're a sinner in his sight. But the scripture tells us, in sin did my mother conceive me. Our sin is not because we have sinned, is that we have inherited sin, and we are sinners, therefore we do sin. And therefore, we need a Saviour. And that Saviour can only be the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom God was well pleased with. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? You see what takes place. As Christ begins to expound the scripture concerning himself, as he begins to open it up to them, they begin to feed off his word. He makes out that he's going to go a little another way. And they say, they constrain him. They constrain him. Almost begging him, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. That's what the Lord's people want, isn't it? You know, when you sit under the expounded word of God and the Spirit takes it and applies it to your heart and you feed off it, you're edified and encouraged. You're enabled to grow and grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to go. You don't want him to go. You don't want him to leave you. And you constrain him, abide with us. You pray, tarry with me, continue on with us, that we may continue to feed and bask in thy presence. They wanted more. You know, to some people, the preaching of the word of God and the expounding of scripture is boring. I don't want to hear it. They come to chapel, switch off. The people outside today, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the scripture expounded, to sit under the authority of the word of God and to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, to have a heart that has been changed. A heart that truly feeds off the Lord Jesus. The living word. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us there. Sorry, Romans. Romans 10. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Think of the angels that winged their way from heaven to speak to the shepherds. How they delighted in the message that they brought. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. Is that your heart? Is that what you say? How beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel? Do you love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The angels loved it. The scripture tells us that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents of their sin. There is joy in heaven when Christ was born into this world. There is joy in heaven when Christ rose again the third day. The angels winged their way to earth to bring the message. He is not here. He is risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And the Lord Jesus goes to search out his sad disciples walking and then encourages them by expounding the scripture unto them. And they cry out, abide with us, for it is towards evening. I don't know if you've ever had a beautiful meal. You've gone to a nice restaurant and you've been eating a delicious meal and you don't want it to end. The food tastes so good and you want more. We've been communing with somebody and you've had a blessed evening and you don't want the evening to end. You want it to continue. Because of the fellowship, it is delightful. And this is how it was with them. They didn't want the meal to end. They were being satisfied by spiritual food. Their appetite was being satisfied. They were feeding of the spiritual word of God. And they wanted more. Don't know if it's ever happened to you. That you've sat under the ministry of the word, or you've been in prayer, or you've been reading from the word of God. And it's like Christ is come and sat by you. And he's ministering to your very needs. And you don't want it to end. You don't want it to end. But it does end. But you crave more. As we delight to spend time with our loved ones, and when they are gone, we mourn them. And when they come and visit us again, we are filled with joy. So is his with those who love Christ, who love the beautiful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They delight to spend time with the Lord Jesus. They delight to be in his presence. They long for that fellowship with him. For he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And when he is gone, we're like the lady in the Song of Solomon who goes searching for a loved one. And we go searching again for Christ. And we say, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. They wanted to know more. They wanted him to come and sit with them and have dinner. They wanted him to spend the night with them and to continue talking with them. And as they sat down, he breaks the bread. And their eyes were opened. One of the last things the Lord Jesus Christ did with his apostles was that he broke bread. He brought in the Lord's Supper. And he told them, "This do in remembrance of me." And as the bread was broken, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures?" You see, they remembered that their hearts were burning. They remembered that they were feeding on the expounded word of God. And then they saw Christ. He was gone. That's how it is, isn't it? As we walk this narrow way that leads to life, as we go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God, it's just fleeting views of Christ. It's just fleeting tastes of heaven. But then it's gone. But like I said this morning, and we will see him face to face. For all eternity, it will not be a fleeting glimpse, but we shall behold him face to face. It is towards evening, and the day is far spent. Today it is evening. We are here at the place of worship, and it's evening. It's dark outside. Is it dark in our hearts? Or has the light of the glorious gospel shined within us? Have we been able to view the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and say, "Abide with me, for it is toward evening"? We think of our lives, as we have sang already. Our lives are like a vapor. Every day of our life, it is towards evening. We do not know whether we will live for another moment. We've come to the end of another year. It is towards evening and the day is far spent. It is towards evening and the year is far spent. God has enabled us to live another year of time. But because we have lived another year of time, he has added another page in his book of your and my life. The scripture tells us, and the books were opened. And in those books is an account of every single thing that you and I have ever done. Unless our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every day with us it is towards evening. And we don't know how long we are going to live. We do not know if we will even pass from this year until the next year. We do not know if we will make it through the following year. We do not know anything. But what we do know is that our life is as a vapor. It is a passing, a fleeting thing, a tale that is told. Something very fragile, something very frail. Yet when we think and when we look at ourselves, we are blinded to that fact and we think that we have all the time in the world. Well, that's Satan's lie. The scripture tells us today today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And may the Spirit grant us this prayer this night, that we may see our need of the Lord Jesus, that he may, his gospel may be beautiful to us, and that we may feed upon it, and we may delight to be in his presence, and we may say, abide with me. Do not leave me. Abide with me, Lord, before this evening is over. Abide with me, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in, and he tarried with them, and their eyes were opened. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the commission that Jesus gives to the apostles, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Abide with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, may the Lord bless you and be with you and watch over you through the end of this night and through the coming year that is ahead of us each. And may we each prove that the Lord is indeed abiding with us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Graham Hadley will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Paul Austin next Lord's Day, and he will, God willing, address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year prayer meeting at 10:30 tomorrow, and St. Ives Friends hold their New Year prayer meeting at 7:15 on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 379. 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
Almighty God, we do thank thee for this day that thou hast granted to us. We thank thee for this another year that thou hast given unto us. And we pray that as we enter into another year in a few hours' time, that thy blessing may rest upon each and every one of us here. We pray, Lord, that thou make us ready to stand before thy face. We do not know what a day or an hour will bring, but thou dost know. And we pray, Lord, that thou then make us ready for what a day or an hour will bring into our lives, to abide with us, dear Lord, for the day is far spent. You go with us from this year to the next, and even through all eternity. You take us home in peace and in safety, and help us to meditate upon thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, with the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, do rest upon you each, now and forevermore. Amen.